Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
Today, the Lord spoke to me, actually in January, he spoke to me to preach a message that I preached a little over 3 years ago again. So today, you're going to get that message repackaged just a little bit, because apparently God says you need to hear it again. So maybe you weren't here and you didn't hear it for the first time. Maybe you heard it, but you just need more revelation that God wants to give you. So I'm just the vessel that says yes. So here we go. We're going to talk about being planted. That's the title of my message. It's called Planted. I'm going to read from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 4 from the New King James Version. It says, "Blessed is the man." That means happy is the man, fortunate is the man, prosperous is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's a good thing to do, my friends, is meditating on the word day and night. He shall be like a tree planted, say planted, by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in season. Anybody else want to be fruitful in season? Whose leaf also shall not wither. Anybody not want to wither? How about ladies? No wrinkles? No shriveling up? I mean, come on. And whatever he does shall prosper. Yes, to prosperity. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So Psalm 1 shows us the contrast between those who are walking in the ways of God and those who are walking in their own way, their own path. So when we plant ourselves, we grow roots. Anybody who's ever had a plant, you know that the plant is planted in the soil, or the seed becomes a plant, and roots grow deep, right? When you have roots, you can actually produce fruit. If you never are planted, you don't have the opportunity to grow roots, then you don't have the opportunity to produce fruit. Anybody ever read any fruitful scriptures in the Bible? Does God ever talk about us being fruitful? Yeah, it's a key thing. We're supposed to bear fruit. We're supposed to be believers that actually bear fruit. Do something. Bear his image. Look like him. Advance his kingdom. We're supposed to bear fruit and look like him. But we can't do that if we're not first planted. So as you know, vacations are a really big deal to the Gowans family. We go on vacations every year. We've done it, thankfully, by the grace of God, from the beginning of our marriage. So for 23 and a half years, Mike and I together, and then with our children, and sometimes with a lot of you, we've gone on vacations because they're important to us, to create and make family memories. So one particular vacation, we drove up some partially Highway 1 to the north. We were on our way to Vancouver. And along the way, we took our time and we just stopped as we wanted to at different cities and saw different things. Well, we stopped to be enamored by the redwood trees, forests. They were outstanding. We actually even went to that little city called Leggett, if any of you have ever driven to that little city. And you saw the tree that has the big, I don't know, what is it, 9 foot something hole in it, the big redwood, you know, and you can drive your car through it. We drove our car through the redwood tree, through the hole, got the picture to prove it. But we're there. So redwoods, they're outstanding. They're mesmerizing, stunning, obviously. Some of them grow as tall as 350 feet high. But what's interesting is that their roots only go 6 to 12 feet deep. However, they go out almost up to 100 feet in width. And the reason is this. They thrive in thick groves. They're close together, where the roots can intertwine and even fuse together. They hold on to each other and increase their stability. That'll preach in relationship, won't it? This gives them tremendous strength against the forces of nature. Relationally, it will give us tremendous strength against the trials we face. They can withstand high winds and raging floods. Now, in contrast to the enormous redwoods that have roots that go 100 feet wide, in contrast is the tumbleweed. And we are known for our tumbleweeds here out in the wild, wild west of Arizona. On another vacation that we got in at the time, our little white seven-seater, our little Mazda CX-9 with our three children who were much shorter and smaller at the time, we drove across the country all the way to Florida. It was a terrible idea. It was not my idea. It was my husband's terrible idea. I would have never suggested this. I will always suggest flying. But he wanted to drive, so we drove all the way to Florida. But on the way, so I'm actually in the driver's seat when we're going through southern New Mexico, and if you've ever driven on Highway 10 in that area, it's insanely windy. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you can feel the car moving and shaking, and I'm holding on tight to the steering wheel, and I'm already a cautious person, and here I am, you know, and Mike's asleep in the passenger seat. Maybe the kids were, I don't know, and here I am, facing the winds all by myself. And all of a sudden, this enormous tumbleweed comes flying across the highway, and it sticks right into the grill of our car. And so there I am, like, ah! There I am screaming as I'm driving 65, 75, whatever miles an hour I am, going, and this enormous tumbleweed is just stuck there. And of course, it stays with us for several miles. It was crazy. I woke up my husband like in a little panic. God love him. But tumbleweeds, they are very different than redwoods. Tumbleweeds are prickly and restless. They're prickly, restless plants that are not content to stay in one place. The winds easily break the dead tumbleweed from its roots and it begins tumbling through the fields. Family, God has not called us to be tumbleweeds, to be prickly and restless, roaming from place to place. Tumbleweeds are similar to the chaff we talked about in Psalm 1. Chaff, the definition of chaff is dry, the dry, scaly, protective casings of the seeds or grains. It's the empty husks of corn that have no weighty substance to it. And it's easily blown by the winds of adversity. So I want to talk about a spirit that's mentioned in the Bible, called, some people call it the wanderer spirit, others call it the vagabond spirit. And I want to talk about that over the next few minutes with us. The vagabond spirit causes people to wander aimlessly through life, never being able to settle and establish themselves. It robs people relationally. It frustrates a person in their purpose, and they're unfruitful in life. Wandering aimlessly through life, never being able to settle and establish, robbing people relationally, frustrating you in your purpose, and being unfruitful. Let's read in Genesis 4, where we first see this vagabond spirit mentioned, verses 1 through 15. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, "I've acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, Cain a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." Another version says, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Verse 8, "Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." So this vagabond spirit wants to divide the people you are intended to walk with. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's Abel, your brother? Where's the man you were called to walk with? Where's the brother you were called to do life with? Build kingdom with? Where is he?" He got a little spicy with the Lord. He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said to him, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Verse 12, "When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. So Cain was sentenced to a life as a vagabond and a fugitive. He received the cursed spirit of a vagabond, which is the spirit that makes a person live an aimless life, a wandering life. This person goes from one place to the other with no fixed purpose, mission, or calling in life. They're restless in their spirit. The Hebrew word for vagabond means this: a person without a permanent home who moves from place to place, a vagrant, a wanderer, a tramp, a prostitute. This is a person who gets intimate with many but stays with none. One who moves to and from, taking flight at a moment's notice. They waver. Someone contrary to rule. This person who's in a church always finds fault and is coming up against church leadership. The church can never do anything right, and they always find fault. To refuse accepted order or general practice. This is a person that comes against the way things are done. They just buck it. They buck the system. There's no spirit of meekness or humility. They depart from the usual pattern. They can't just, "Let's do it the way we're asked to do it." Nope. They want to do things their own way. If somebody asks them to do something, they might do it, but they'll do it their own way. They won't do it the way they were asked to do it. It's an independent and rebellious spirit. And this vagabond spirit is rampant in our culture today. Can you see it? Where is commitment? Where is it in our culture? We used to say, stay together. Now people aren't even getting married to say stay together in marriage. I mean, we can't get people to RSVP to a baby shower a week in advance. I mean, much less stay in a marriage. Our culture is rampant with this spirit. People move from here to there, this city to that city, this house to that house, this marriage to that marriage, this job to that job, this relationship to that relationship, this church to that church, this friendship to that friendship, and so on and so on. There's no settling down. There's no commitment. They're always looking for something else. The grass has to be greener somewhere else. And what's the result? There's no true friendships made. No lasting relationships are made. Do we know yet? If you're here at all, you know God is all about relationship. He is relationship in his very essence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is relationship. And he created. Why in the world did he create us? He wasn't lonely. He wanted relationship. He actually wanted relationship with you. You. Whatever your name is, it's you. He wanted a relationship with you. He wanted to walk with you. He wanted to have intimate relationship communion with you. That's Jesus. He created relationship. So if we are a people that are tormented by this spirit called vagabond spirit, that is wandering and restless and can never take root, and the result is no lasting relationship. That is nothing. That is anti what God wants and desires. It's in complete opposition to what he desires, what Jesus paid for us to have with the Father. And it's interesting because when you don't have true lasting relationships, then you feel restless. And so then you feel like, I got to go find true lasting relationships, but then you just keep moving, and you keep moving, because the spirit torments you, and it's this vicious cycle. You never get what you truly long for, and what God truly desires for you to have. The vagabond spirit's also responsible for lack of focus, which is why the devil is able to do so much havoc. You can't focus on who you are, what you're called to be, do for the kingdom, who you're called to do it with. So you're just aimlessly wandering. Lack of focus, no focus. It's responsible for the lack of direction and aimlessness in so many lives. You're just spinning your wheels. You're just spinning your wheels, going in circles, never getting anywhere, completely discontented, frustrated in life. And then the vagabond spirit makes people waste their investments because you're not focused, because you're aimless and you're wandering. And so then you waste your investments. Nothing you lay your hands on works out. It doesn't matter how many degrees are behind their name, nothing prospers. Then which leads to the spirit of poverty, because you just waste, because there's no focus. You're aimlessly wandering. You're restless. You're searching. You're always looking for the greener grass. So you waste your resources, and then you end up in poverty. Can you see how all these demonic spirits run together? We got to wake up, church. So what are the results of what I just read? Fruitless, restless, poverty, lack of focus, wandering, no depth or length of relationships, prostitute-like, because you're intimate with a lot of people, but you don't stay with any. You just move on your way. Rebellious against authority, independent and prideful. Let me tell you, God is adamant about believers being planted. He's adamant. Google, look up in your concordance, All the verses that talk about being planted and being rooted and being established and then being fruitful because of that. You'll find dozens. He's adamant about us, the believers, being planted, because he knows that believers who are not planted will move to and fro, live in instability and restlessness. You will live in chaos and confusion and never grow roots and won't be fruitful. So he's adamant about us as his sons and his daughters being rooted. What happens is relationship gets hard. Let me tell you, every single relationship in your life at some point, one time or another, will be hard. The most perfect relationship that you think, it will at some point be really hard. And what happens when it gets hard? Then you get offended. Woo! And you get your little feathers ruffled, right? And then bam, if vagabond spirit is in you, on you, you're out of here. I'm done. I'm done. You offended me, I'm done. And then, God forbid, somebody actually correct you, actually tell you, in love, wow, you need a Tic Tac. You got some funky breath going on. Let me help you. And then what happens? Bolt, you're out of here. You're not going to correct me. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Who put you in that place to actually give me some godly correction? You know, baby, let me just tell you, God corrects the ones he loves. That says we are not illegitimate. We are his. And so we need to become a people who mature and get a little thicker skin to be able to take some godly correction from people who love us. Because if somebody loves you, they'll help you and correct you. And I'm all for it. And it has to be done in love. If you do it with all your nasty issues, then just stay quiet until you can do it in love. But we need to learn to receive it in love. Because we need it to be better. God wants us better. But we bolt if we're living with that vagabond spirit, too insecure to hear the truth. And then as restlessness increases, we just try to leave. We've got to find something new. I can't stay here because I'm restless. And the sad thing is, you'll not find it anywhere else, in anyone else or anything else. Be it a marriage, a job, a church, a career, a whatever. You won't find it because it's in you. And so you will continue to aimlessly wander. I believe the devil himself was a vagabond. Job 1, 6 and 7 tells us, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.'" It's a demonic spirit. It's a wicked spirit. And the Lord wants us set free of it. So let's contrast the benefits of one who's planted. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious." I'm signing up for this, okay? To remove anxiety completely. "Will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Psalm 92, 12 through 14. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." I looked up the cedars of Lebanon, and cedars are known for their power and their longevity. Say that with me. Power and longevity. That's what God wants for us, his believers. Cedars are also known for firmness of roots. "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." You know, it matters that you're planted in a church. If you've been through the membership class, you've heard it. But it deserves repeating, because you have a lot of people in your world and in your life that just flutter from here and there and shop churches like they're shopping ice cream flavors. And God has called us to be planted. And if a person wants to flourish in life, they must be planted and rooted and established in a church. Now, I understand when you move to a new city, you've got to find a new place. And I do believe every now and then God moves people from one church to another. But he doesn't do it as often as people do it. Every 6 months, every year, every time I get offended by this and that, and every time I don't like something, or I like the music better over here, or the preaching better over here. It's not about you, what you like. Let me just tell you that. It's about where God plants you. That's what it's about. We need to lay our selfishness down and aside in life. But in regards to a church, it's not, I'm fine. I gotta find a church that I like. No, you need to seek the Lord to find the tribe that he has to plant you in and establish you in, so that you can lock arms with the people he's called you to lock arms with and war with and do something for the kingdom of God. And you need to we need to tell people that in love and don't yell just like I yell. Okay. But I want people to flourish. And I'll tell you, the countless people that I know that are not established and rooted in a body who flutter from here and there, they're not flourishing. And God's desire is that his people flourish. But we got to do what he says. And so he says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still, this is really good. For all of you like me who've got some gray hair, they shall bear fruit in old age. Can I get a hallelujah? Come on. This is really good news. I got a lot under here. You just can't see it. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. What a promise with the condition. So what did I read? The benefits. Planted and spread out roots. That's a good thing. No fear when heat comes. No fear when trials come. When the heat is turned up. When it gets intense in your life. No fear. I know we all want that. Your leaf remains green. Brown leaves that are supposed to be green are ugly. Leaf remains green. No anxiety in drought. Wow. That'll preach even now in our culture with all the inflation, with things, your little dollar being squeezed even tighter. No anxiety in drought. Always produces fruit, powerful, longevity, flourishing, bearing fruit in old age, fresh and flourishing. I want to present to you my thought today. My thought is this. The opposite of a vagabond spirit is covenant. Covenant. Covenant relationship. It's the complete opposite of aimlessly wandering, flailing around, restless, always searching for something better, the greener grass. Covenant. God is a covenant God. He's a covenant-making God, and he's a covenant-keeping God. He made covenants in the Old Testament, and he made a new covenant for us through Jesus. That if we say yes, and we surrender our lives, you are Lord, and I am not, and I'm exchanging my life for yours, and you're the boss, and you're in charge, that's the new covenant. Then what do I get? I get to be restored to my relationship with God. I get to have an eternity with him. And on this side of heaven, I get to flourish. He's a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. How many of us are covenant people? How many of us have covenant relationships in our lives? And I don't mean your uncle that you can't stand, that he's your uncle, he's only in your life because he's there, he's your uncle. Come on. I'm talking about people you've intentionally walked with. I flew home to Kentucky on Wednesday morning and flew back late Friday night. My mom's only sister passed. She was 81 and she had battled for the last almost 12 years Alzheimer's. So we lost her several years ago. But I'll tell you, when you sit in a funeral, it gives you the opportunity to rethink some things again. It's good. There are good things to be being confronted with death again, you know? You think, okay, at the end of my life, how fruitful am I? What am I doing that really matters? What relationships will I have at my funeral? How many covenant friendships and relationships? What will I have done for Jesus? It's a good reminder. I think of our Every Nation Church in Ukraine, our churches in Ukraine. We, Bethel, are a part of a spiritual family that's worldwide. Over 500 churches in over 82 nations. 7 of those churches are in the nation of Ukraine. And I'm encouraged that they know they're in covenant with believers all over the world. They can be encouraged and strengthened by the prayers of us right here in Chandler, Arizona. They can be lifted up. As we pray and war and stand with them, the Spirit of God is empowering them and strengthening them and encouraging them and bringing them comfort. He's doing that because we're a family that's in covenant. Resources have been sent. That's what covenant is. It's what covenant does. It's the benefits of covenant. It's rich. There's a richness to covenant that you cannot put a price tag on, my friends. People search aimlessly, wrestling, wanting this. There's a spiritual blessing that comes when one chooses to be planted. Ruth, in the Old Testament, she lost her husband. He was killed. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, she said, "You got to go back. You got to go back to your own country." She said, "I'm too old. If I were to birth another son, by the time he's grown and able to marry you, it's too late. I have nothing else, nothing left to offer you, Ruth. You got to go. Go back to your own country." But Ruth understood covenant. And this is her response. Ruth clung to Naomi. And she said, "Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you stay, I'll stay. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you from me." Ruth 1, 16 and 17. I believe the rubber meets the road in the trials. In the midst when the heat gets turned up and you're in the furnace. And at that time, too many of us, we think we're in covenant, but the heat gets turned up. And then we go insane and we make crazy, irrational, horrific decisions in the midst of storms. And I remember, I can think insane thoughts with the best of us, okay? And I remember about 13 years ago. Yeah, 13 and a half years ago. People were leaving our church left and right. I mean, they were dropping like flies. There were 5 Jezebels that were trying to destroy the church at the time. And the sheep were biting. I mean, sheep after sheep after sheep just bit Mike and I. And it hurt. And I was hurting. And I said, "Lord, I don't know about this. I don't know if I want this. I don't know if I want to be in ministry anymore. I don't know if I want to keep building this church. I don't know if I want to stay in this marriage. I don't know what I want. I don't know." And let me tell you this, my friends. All of us, if you haven't already, you'll hear and think those crazy thoughts at some point. When life gets hard, when you get squeezed so tight and it is so uncomfortable, and all you're feeling is pain and discomfort, and you just want out. You just want relief. And by the grace of God, I took those thoughts and I slaughtered them. And because of it, I'm still married. to the man of my dreams, this unbelievable, outrageous man of faith for 23 and a half years. We have an amazing church with a culture of discipleship and lordship and honor, where people's lives are being transformed and healed. And this spring will be 15 years that we have been a church. When the enemy tried to take us out, I have no idea what all of it would have looked like had I said yes to the insane thoughts of just laying it down, walking away. I would say, hey, I'm a covenant girl. I'm all about covenant. I said I do. I stood on a platform in front of God and witnesses, and I said I do. And I said, this is my Every Nation family, and this is my church, and this is what I'm building toward, because this is my call. I'm called. But I had insane thoughts to walk away from it all. Years ago, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Years ago, I heard this illustration. This was back in Tennessee, where there's lots of country roads, lots of dirt country roads, and there's lots of pickup trucks. And so the illustration is, when a pickup truck is driving down a dusty, rocky country road, and it's flying by, what happens? What's behind it? Smoke, dust clouds. Just flying by that dirty country road, and that's all you see is dust. Can you see anything through that? Nope. Let me just give you a piece of advice, and if you hold on to this, it will save your life, I promise you, for the rest of your life, because it saved mine. When you are squeezed and you are in a trial and it hurts and you feel like the fire cannot get any hotter, don't make any life-altering decisions. When you are in the midst of that dusty cloud, you can't see clearly, you can't hear clearly, you can't think clearly. And the worst thing you can do is make a decision to break covenant. You wait until the dust settles, and then you can hear and think and see clearly after that. I'm going to close, even though I don't want to, because I've got more to say. But the Israelites, God's desire was never for his people to be delivered out of Egypt and to wander again. What did he have? He had a promised land for them. A promised land. Just like he has for every single one of his children, me and you. He has a promised land, promised territory. But the Israelites, because of their murmuring, their grumbling, and their complaining, they wandered around. What should have taken, some scholars say 11 days, some say 19, whatever. It's a few weeks at best, my friends, from there to there. And instead, it took them 40 long, arduous years. Unnecessary years, because of their mumbling and their grumbling and their complaining. So it's a whole other message, and I don't have time, but let me just tell you. I believe one of the entryway points of a vagabond spirit is your mumbling and your grumbling and your complaining. So watch out. So if you are grumbling and mumbling about everything in your life, if nothing's good enough, if nothing measures up, and that could be your husband too, sweet one, you need to re-look again. You need to rethink again. That job, this church, if you remember, those relationships in your life, stop the grumbling and the mumbling and the complaining, because you will only see what you don't have instead of seeing what you do have, and you will continue to aimlessly wander through your life. Let me pray for you. you feel like this vagabond spirit, I think a little bit might be in all of us. So, but if you feel like this is something that you've battled, today is your day to be free. Today is your day to be set free. Revelation has come by the Spirit of God. Your eyes have been enlightened, and your heart is saying, yes, I want to be free. I am tired of running around. I am tired of aimlessly wandering. I am tired of giving up time and again, at least in my heart and mind, on my destiny. I'm tired of giving up on my marriage. I'm tired of being frustrated with things I shouldn't be frustrated with, that's causing me to aimlessly wander and be restless in my spirit. So if that's you today, just pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we repent of saying yes to the vagabond spirit. We repent of our pride. We repent of grumbling and mumbling and complaining. We repent of aimlessly wandering, never being settled, always being restless. God, we repent of it. And we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive an infilling of your spirit to be strengthened, to be people of our word, to be people who show up and stay, who stay the long haul, who go the long haul in relationships in life, who don't give up on relationships. Lord, strengthen us with the spirit of might today. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a covenant God. Make us like you. We humbly ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.